Welcome one, welcome all to another edition of Colt Schnero Chat. The games don't stop and neither do we. I'm Jeremy, I'm joined by Robbie, and guess what? We're talking about another Atletico Madrid loss, this time to Granada. The first time in nearly 50 years, Robbie, that Atletico have lost a league game to Granada. When it rains, it pours.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think that Koke's comments after the game about being a little bit unlucky and just things going against them is absolutely true. But at the same time, on the flip side of that, last season everything went right for Atletico, with Barcelona losing against Granada, actually, ironically, and Real Madrid falling apart, and there was no talk about luck then. It was all about how good Atletico were, and that's the way you do. You kind of cut your cloth to fit, and you whatever suits you, and you, that's the kind of angle you pick and open it from, and that's fine. But I think that you can talk about luck, and I think it was a factor tonight, definitely. But there's issues there with how Atletico played in that first half, and I think on a whole, Atletico just haven't been. Atletico haven't been good enough this season at all, and they're in a very, very weird place in terms of their evolution as a team and as a squad.
It's not really an evolution; it's a de-evolution, if anything, on what's been based on the play, not only this month but in weeks past and months past, really since the season began with a fun but unconvincing win over Celta, and then that weird draw against Villarreal 2 weeks after that, and Atletico just haven't improved as a team, like, at all. And, yeah, Koke is right to a point that Atletico were very unlucky today. They were unlucky against Sevilla as well over the weekend. But Granada's winning goal on Wednesday came from a João Félix shot that hit the base of the post, ricochets all the way out. Granada have just a perfect opportunity to counter from, you know, long shots, long rebounds. It's the same principle in basketball. Granada just have a perfect opportunity to counter, and Jorge Molina, who is older than Methuselah, just tucks the ball underneath Oblak. It's un accidente. Like, it's literally an accident. It's a freak occurrence, but these freak occurrences keep happening. So it's systemic in how Atletico are approaching games, and they're approaching games in a way that I can't really parse, Robbie.
Yeah, and like you just said there, Atletico's, the way that they set up in the first half was, I mean, once João Félix scored that goal, which is an absolute cracker, by the way, and João Félix, I'm sure we'll talk about him, he was excellent.
Yeah, he was.
But after that goal, Atletico just sat back, soaked up the Granada's possession, and, like, that'd be fine if you were in control, but it just felt like it was so easy to firstly get the ball out wide and play it into the centre and for men to be loose, Atletico just looked like you could play through them, and I think that obviously the second goal was a freak, but at the same time, Atletico can't defend counterattacks, and I tweeted about expected goals against and how it doesn't really add up, but at the same time, I think there's I've been thinking about this, and I think that it's because of how Atletico play and how open they leave themselves when you do get a run at them, and I think that's why they're outperforming or underperforming their expected goals against.
Yeah, and the nerves with defending the counterattack, I guess, is one explanation for why Atletico sat back after scoring the opener, despite Granada being one of the worst teams in La Liga defensively. They sat back, and that's one way to stop yourself from getting exposed on the counter, is to just not press high and not have all the ball. But it's counterintuitive, right? Atletico have more than enough talent to make this style of play work. And, yeah, it speaks to a team that just doesn't have a clear idea, doesn't have confidence, that doesn't have any of the luck going their way on top of that. But it's a feature of a team that sometimes you have to make your own luck. And Atletico did a lot of that last season because they played with confidence. They knew what they were doing. They understood the assignment. This season, there has been none of that. Per understats, expected goals, metrics, Atletico had the edge again in XG in this game, Robbie. 1.78 to 0.91 and lost 2-1. Per understats, like season-wide metrics, Atletico have conceded 22 goals. Their expected goals against would have been 14.81, and they have underperformed their expected points by more than 6 points. They would be atop the table by expected points, level on points with Barca.
Yeah, but at the same time, and here's the counterpoint, Atletico Madrid are awful.
Just frankly, yes.
No, but see, this is what I don't understand, because we watched them, and like... I think, and I'm actually going to write about this tomorrow, because there's a guy called Ben, I don't know how you say his name, Ben Torvani. I mean, he's a data scientist, and he doesn't really post like a lot of stuff. He doesn't write all that often, but he does. When he writes really kind of interesting pieces, and he wrote about an article about, does XG really tell us everything about team performance? And he wrote about how Liverpool outperformed their XG, and there was talk at the time of how Liverpool figured out a way to how to create chances that XG couldn't capture.
Mm.
And I think that even before this game, I was in the process of kind of working out this article in my head. So I was kind of talking about how are Atletico Madrid giving up chances that XG can't capture? And I think that's exactly it. Because and the reason being is because so Atletico are in theory anyway, not so much in practice, but in theory they want to be more possession based, so they're holding on to the ball. And like Man City, we'll say, just for example. Now, I know that they're not Man City, but just bear with me for a second there. So we're saying they want to be more like Man City. The problem with it is Man City are so incredibly dangerous that when they have the ball, you can think of nothing else except how do we stop them from scoring. With Atletico, they're a possession-based team, fine, but they're not actually creating anything. So the opposition can sit there and they're going, okay, we're defending right now, but we're setting up for a counter here. And they're already in the process of thinking about how they're going to counter. With Man City and their counter press, or Bayern Munich, or whoever you want to talk about, any of those kind of possession-based teams, They are so dangerous that you can't think of anything else. You are just solely focused on how do we stop them from getting inside our penalty area. With Atletico, it's so slow and laborious that the opposition team is going, we've got them cornered here. In a way, the opposition is letting Atletico beat themselves by playing into, they're playing right in into the opponent's hands. Like, and I mean, we saw Joao Felix today, and he was really excellent, which is kind of annoying, because he's excellent when he's got, he goes out and it's kind of like he's got nothing left to lose. Like, and you shouldn't need to be in at the point of no return to go out and play well, you know, which is really annoying. He only ever tends to play like this when his back is completely against the wall, and there's criticism, and there's talk of him leaving, and there's talk of fighting with Simeone, and he goes out and gives a performance like this to remind us just how good he is. Why can't he do that every single week? Find a way to motivate himself that doesn't involve Atletico sinking like a stone. And I think that when he's on the ball, and he doesn't do it as often enough, but we saw him tonight, a couple of passes into the penalty area that were just completely open. Like, he gave one pass in the second half to Luis Suarez. It was like a sleight of hand where I didn't even know where Suarez came
out. I didn't even see
like
Suarez there, yeah.
Joao Felix led him perfectly into the kind of, into the channel, and Luis Suarez was an acres of space where he could cut it back. But Atletico don't do that enough. They're not dangerous enough, and when they've got the likes of Koke and players like that on the ball in the middle third to final third, you're looking going, okay, you might create something, but chances are you're not going to. So I'm not really that concerned. And I think that Atletico don't do a good enough job of creating creating enough. Yeah,
like it's easy to say Atletico should play more like, and this is not a criticism of what you were saying. I agree with what you were saying. But you know, this is something that like you would routinely see on social media, right? Where like gray areas don't exist. Yeah. Like it's easy to say Atletico should play like Man City, or they should play like Liverpool, or they should play like Bayern Munich. They should have a more German flavor to their game. When you have to have the certain personnel to make that work. Mm-hmm. Above that, you need to have a coach who so firmly believes in that game plan that he will go to his grave playing like it. No matter what, do or die. Like there are certain coaches like Klopp, Guardiola, etc., who are so wedded to this, to their inimitable styles, that there's one way to play. There are different ways you can play within that style, but there are different themes, but there is one overarching way of playing. And right now Atletico don't even have that one style to fall back on. It's a mishmash, it's a hodgepodge, and yeah, you're right. I looked at Koke in this game, and the ball was just stopping every time it went to his feet. He took 99 touches and completed enough passes accurately. Sure, fine. But where are these passes going? Are they really contributing to Atletico's build-up? The same question can be asked of Hermoso, who's normally such a progressive passer, and the biggest reason why he is out there and starting almost every game is because of his influence in the build-up that we're just not seeing at the moment. So there really is no clear style. On one hand, that allows a player like Joao Felix to just go wild, and you mentioned him, so we'll talk about him. He played a great game, his best of the season, I think. 6 shots, 2 on target, 2 of Atletico's 3 shots on target as a team, which is a really sobering stat. The goal he scored was just a beauty. The pass from Lemar, the first touch, the turn, and just passes into the net with his right foot. That's the player we want to see, right? That's the player he's capable of being. It's a matter of, why don't we see this every week? Like, this is a player with a sensational skill set and a really high ceiling, but we just don't see it consistently. And it's 2.5 years into his stint with Atletico, it's getting annoying, you know?
Yeah, and I think, like, back to your point about Atletico playing like Bayern Munich or Man City, and I use them as an example.
Sure.
But I actually don't care how you play. The point is, Simeone is the highest paid manager in Europe. Don't even follow a template. Make your own style. You've been given all the, or not. Not, it's not like he's been completely indulged in the transfer market either, but he has been given a good squad. He's been given the players he seemingly asked for, and I mean, obviously, it could always be better. But like again, we're talking, and I see this kind of revisionism on my part as well in many ways, because I see people saying, "Well, let's be honest here. How many top class defenders do Atletico Madrid have?"
And zero.
I mean, they're struggling, and at the start of the year.
Yeah,
and maybe I'm attributing things being said that weren't said, but based on my memory, I can remember people saying the best squad in La Liga, hands down. And now all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, they're not. No, that's an issue. Manager figuring out not just how to play what he believes, being pragmatic enough to figure out a way to make it work with the players he does have, and in a way. So you look at players, and it's such a weird squad. Like you look at Hector Herrera, okay?
Oh my God, Herrera!
And you look at the likes of, and I understand we're kind of comparing the second best midfield probably of all time in Spanish football, and one of the best in Europe of all time, of Casemiro, Cruz, and Modric, and. You look at that and Camavinga comes in and he plays in the Cruz role, or he plays in the Modric role, or he plays some kind of a combination of the two, or he plays in a different way, whatever. You look at Herrera, when he plays, the whole structure of the team gets turned around. You play Ferland Mendy, left back, okay? He's out injured. You slot in whoever it is. Alaba can play there, left back. It's kind of much... they're different players, obviously. They're asked to do slightly different things. They're better at doing slightly different things. But it's kind of basically the same. You take out Mario Ramos and put in Renan Lodi, all of a sudden, every single thing on the field changes for Atletico Madrid. The entire structure of how they're building up, how they're attacking, how everything. And I just think that it's such a weird combination of players. Even like, for example, Benzema and Jovic. Okay, Jovic is a little bit like what I'm talking about earlier. He's doesn't fit into what he feels like. He's far from the squad. But at least him and Benzema are two number nines. You look at Cunha and Suarez, and they're completely two different,
players. Right.
And I just think that the squad that Atletico built and what they're trying to do is just completely confused at the moment, and we're seeing that. And I know Koke talks about luck and everything, but I think we're seeing that in how they're playing and the results then. And I think, my final point on this is, in time to come, I think it will actually be a nice thing that Simeone went down with Koke. He's staying loyal to him, and I think there's merit in that. Maybe not in the short term, but there's merit in that Koke is his guy and he's going down with him, and I think that there is something in that. But right now, I think that Simeone's previous iteration of Atletico is it needs to be completely forgotten about, and they need to start fresh. And I think that, sorry, I've just said that, but I also think it's impossible, because I don't think you can. Because you can't just wipe. We're not men in black with our memory erasers. All that has happened, and Simeone is the way Simeone is. So I think that Atletico need to start fresh, and I've been saying that for a few weeks. And it's not a slight on Simeone. I just think that 10 years in modern football managing is an outrageously long time, and given how what a goal. Given how successful he's been, everything, he's a legend, an absolute legend. But I also think there's times when these cycles come to an end, and I just feel like this is looking like it for Simeone and Atletico.
Yeah, you mentioned what a goal in Atletico Madrid. They've got 3 goals now in the first 10 minutes. How about that?
your feed must be like 30 seconds behind me.
Mine always is. I don't know what it is in the U.S. versus Spain. My feet is always behind. But you mentioned Madrid's squad depth, and I think that was overlooked entering this season. And I think I was guilty of it as well, that Ancelotti has found solutions. He overhauled the tactical game plan and the strategy in October, and they've just been rolling. But they also have more options in midfield. Like, Atletico can bring on Hector Herrera to do really very little. I think it's a good thing his contract is up at the end of the year. He won't be coming back. He just offers nothing to this team. You look at what Atletico can do in bringing on Herrera, and then Madrid can bring on Camavinga. They can bring on Valverde, who had the hockey assist on Madrid's second goal tonight, to just press teams into oblivion. Atletico have a good enough squad anyway to be better than fifth, having lost 5 straight games. I think that's not really a question. And even looking beyond Madrid, you look at Sevilla and the injury issues they've had and the solutions that Lopetegui has found. I know they were kind of the draw with Barcelona on Tuesday was a bit of a weird game, but Jules Koundé was playing at right back and was great before Jordi Alba goaded him into a red card. They had 2 center backs playing as the fullbacks, and Sevilla on another day could have won that game. And they have Rakitic, Delaney, Joan Jordan as midfield options, and they're not even playing at full strength. So the excuses in terms of the squad depth, good coaches find solutions. I have no doubt that Diego Simeone is a good coach and one of the best in Europe. But football is cyclical. There comes a time for everyone. Like, Father Time and age, they're undefeated. And I think we are now closer than ever to seeing Cholo Simeone's reign at Atletico come to an end. It's not just really a reactionary thing. Yeah, they've lost four in a row. That's not good. It's the first time they've done that in over a decade since the old guy, Gregorio Manzano, was in charge. It's not really a reactionary take. They've lost four in a row. They won the league last season, but they weren't impressive in the second half. And all these issues that kind of cropped up in the second half of last season that were not addressed in the window, that were not addressed by the technical staff, that were not addressed on the training ground, are all coming home to roost. And on top of that, you have a heap of bad luck. Like, both goals Granada scored in this game were just... I mean, what do you do with the Machis goal? I think Carrasco lost the ball and kind of threw up his arms, which he shouldn't have done, of course, but DePaul misses a tackle, and Machis just places the ball perfectly. We talked about the Molina goal. It's not only Atletico not playing well, but they're not even getting any luck. And the luck thing, that's not on Simeone. That's just variance in how the game goes. Teams deal with good luck and bad luck all the time, and they either overcome or they don't. But these issues that we're talking about that are systemic in terms of how the team plays, in terms of getting the best out of certain players and putting players in position to succeed, that is on the coach. That is on the plantilla. That is on recruitment. And it's been disastrous. It's looking like a failure of a league season already. We're not even at Christmas yet. Well,
no, yeah, like, we're halfway through it now, and it is. It's a complete disaster. I mean, how many games have you looked at them and said, wow, that was... Maybe once or twice this season when it was like, yeah, that looked completely, that was a confident swashbuckling display. And I think that we talk about luck, and it's such a hard thing to do, because I think that luck is just like the result of a thousand like micro little decisions, micro actions, and humans have never been able to figure out just what it is. But I do think that the idea that, look, like, Atletico Madrid for so long, like, we watched them for years playing Bayern Munich and teams that were way better than them, and they'd get results. And any one of those goals go in, or sorry, shots go in, or any little stroke of luck goes against them, and the whole Simeone reign probably changes. So I mean, to kind of fall back on luck now after so many years of kind of riding their luck for, I think, is a little bit kind of unfair now. And that's not to say Simeone is a land of luck or anything like that either, but I also think that the reason why Atletico aren't getting luck is because, and I don't want to say that Simeone's lost the dressing room, as in there's any kind of aggro there, and it seems like the players are still playing for him. What I mean when I say he's kind of lost the dressing room, his message doesn't seem to be getting through as much anymore, and the reason why, and when I say about the thousand micro actions, is like the tactical thing, the lack of a plan, the lack of certainty. And then, like we've spoken about before, is that you start to kind of second guess yourself. You're in your own head, and that's when the concentration issues come about. And obviously, yeah, the Joao Felix goal being disallowed was a ridiculous decision.
But oh yeah, we haven't even talked about that yet. That's like the worst decision I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's just complete incompetence from the referee. It's cowardly, oh my God. And it's just so weird that football is such a strange sport in that you look at NBA, NFL, any sport you can think of, and they're trying to encourage higher scoring games and more action, and for some reason football seems okay with disallowing that. If a defender clears the ball, if Joao Felix is the defender in that instance and he jumps up to clear the ball in the other direction, can you imagine that was given as a penalty? Never.
No.
Never.
Not
ever,
in a million
ever.
Years.
I mean,
no.
there'd be riots outside the ground tonight if that happened. And I just think that there's some weird, it's just a weird thing that football has, that they give the defender the benefit of the doubt. Like, so often, when I just think it's kind of weak refereeing.
And disproportionately this happens in the Spanish league. Like, Premier League refs don't make that call. I don't watch a ton of Bundesliga and Serie A's reliably common, but I know in England that that call is ordinarily not given. In Spain, it's almost always given. Deference is always given to the defender. When Luis Suarez, Granada's Luis Suarez, at the end of the first half is backing into Joao Felix, if anything, the foul is on him as Felix hits his header goal bound. I didn't understand that decision. Just every possible detail, every possible thing that could go against Atleti is going against him, and on top of that, they're not playing well. So
Basically telling Joe Felix, don't go for that ball. No point in you. There's no possible way that you can jump in the air.
Like, unless he jumps straight up and then hits this vein popping header into the goal, which is impossible for any player to do, especially one as slight as Joao.
It's impossible. It's impossible. It's not natural, and he'd also have to. It's actually dangerous. If he put his hands behind his back and jumped up in the air like that, he's actually looking to hurt himself. And I just think, yeah, like you said with the Spanish thing, Spanish football, and I know, you can come back to me in 5 or 10 years, and I'm convinced that Spanish football has a serious issue with refereeing. And they're going to have to address it because in the past football was so popular and it was fine. The next generation. I know this is kind of a digression now, but the next generation of so many it's almost like arrogance from the footballing authorities that they're not trying to address this because the younger generation. They don't have the attention spans. They want action. They've a million different options to tune into whatever it is that they want to tune into, and the refereeing, it's just why aren't you encouraging attacking football and this diving and time wasting and even hear it on the commentary oh, he earned that foul and well done, oh yeah, he's got it. No, you're cheating. You're actually cheating by diving underground and rolling around pretending that you're injured. You're cheating, and then you see, players go down and this, I'm convinced, another thing I'm convinced of, that is a bit silly, but players who kick the ball out when a player's on the ground should be booked for time wasting.
Yeah.
Because unless it's a head injury, but if you break your ankle, okay? If you break your ankle, there's no difference in between a medic coming on to see you for 10 seconds before or 10 seconds after. You know what I mean? And this idea, the whole game gets broken up when a player goes down and rolling around on the ground. It's embarrassing stuff. And you see, and it's just completely accepted. And it's just so weird because it's, but anyway, that's nothing really got to do with tonight. We didn't see too much of that tonight. But I just think in any other sport, and I don't like talking about sport like a product or like a brand or that, but any other product will say would be encouraging the referee, no, give the goal, we need more action, we want more highlights, we want more talking points like that, a talking point now, but not in a good way,
no, really none of what we're talking about is particularly good from an Atletico POV, but the refereeing is a tired topic, and it's an easy cop-out for a lot of fans and a lot of pundits and observers to just blame the refereeing, but in Spain, it genuinely is a crisis, and it doesn't look to my eyes like it's going to be solved anytime soon when the former head of referees saying that this generation is the best one that's ever come through Spanish football. What game are you watching? It's a genuine crisis that the referees, they're not for or against any one team. When the big teams are at home, okay, there's a tendency / temptation to give more calls their way. But the referees are not flagrantly for or against Madrid or Barcelona or Atletico. They're just really bad. They give the idea, their perception of showing favoritism because they're just really bad at their jobs. There was a call tonight that took away what looked like a perfectly legal goal for Atletico. But then Atletico had the entire second half to rebound, Robbie, and they didn't do it. Again, only 3 shots on target for the entire game. You're not going to win very many games doing that. A couple more things to talk about. Another just 2 clean sheets in the last 14 for Jan Oblak. Another game where he's gone and conceded twice, although neither was really his fault. I'm going to posit a hypothetical for you, all right? Oblak's 28. His contract is up in the summer of 2023. From what I've seen and read, renewal talks haven't... They're at an early stage, an exploratory stage, haven't really gone anywhere yet. If Oblak's poor season continues and no... there isn't really substantive progress made on a new contract in the next, let's say, 3-4 months, would you consider selling Oblak next summer with the year left on his contract?
Yeah, well, it depends on what you're going to put. It's a silly kind of a comment, but it depends on what you're going to get from him, and it depends on what direction Atletico are going in. It depends on how they assess whether this form is here to stay, or whether it's just he's kind of not entirely comfortable, and I guess it's kind of down to Oblak as well, what he wants to do in many ways, because if he's not going to renew, or like, I mean, you can't lose 29-year-old Jan Oblak for nothing in a year's time. So I don't know what motivates these guys or anything, but I mean, Jan Oblak, I would imagine, has enough money to keep him going for the rest of his life. So he's been at Atletico now for however many years. He hasn't won the Champions League, but won pretty much everything else or competed at the highest level with Atletico for long enough now that maybe he does want the challenge. And like we're talking about Simeone and cyclical and things like that, maybe it's time for Jan Oblak to search for a different challenge. And I know that's really, really hard to replace a goalkeeper, but especially with Oblak's quality. But I think if the right offer came in, yeah, like, I mean, I'd be open to that. But the other thing, well, I'm a bit more like I'm a bit like kind of like Daryl Morey or Monchi or someone there. I think I'd be selling everyone if I was a sporting director. but actually, I wanted to actually ask you a question and see what you think about this. Is part of Atletico's poor form down to the fact that Jan Oblak can't play as well with his feet? Do Atletico need a goalkeeper who is better with his feet to give them an extra dimension?
Ooh, that is a good question, because that is probably the one weakness to Oblak's game, is that he's never been a very good distributor. Like, you're never going to confuse Oblak with like Neuer or Ter Stegen, even though Ter Stegen has not been very good for the last couple of years himself, but you're never going to confuse Oblak with a sweeper keeper. That's an interesting question. Yeah. And I think Atletico need to be looking for really any kind of solution at the back that will make them more solid and more reliable and playing out of the back. And Oblak's distribution has been pretty spotty throughout his career. His long goal kicks aren't ordinarily that accurate. He's really good at catching the ball and throwing it back into play, but his long distribution has always been kind of a question mark. Atletico have usually been able to play through it, though. That it hasn't always been much of a problem, but now with Atletico's squad construction and with the template, with how it looks, with more attacking profiles and less sturdy defensive Godin type players in defense, I think Oblak's distribution, that is a really good question. I think it probably is an issue, because you need to look for any detail. You've lost 4 games in a row, and your season in La Liga is cratering at the moment. So you need to look for really any kind of solution that will give you like a modicum of improvement. And Oblak at 28 hasn't ever really shown that he is a top flight distributor of the ball in the mold of like a Manuel Neuer. So yeah, that's an interesting one. I think that would help, right? I think that would help, given that Atletico have really only one good distributor from the back, and it's Mario Hermoso, who has a bunch of other issues to his game. I think that needs to be an area of improvement for Oblak, or whoever Oblak's successor is, the ability to reliably and consistently deliver the ball from your own box, from your own penalty area.
Yeah, and then I'll tell you another thing. Hermoso was kind of lucky that he didn't give a penalty away on Molina in the first half when he kind of just completely unnecessarily hit him in the back.
He shoved him,
a soft penalty, but just playing with fire there, man.
Hermoso does that. Like, he's kind of, he's very talented, but he's an infuriating player to watch because he is not even close to like the in the mold of the prototypical Cholismo defender. Like, you're never going to confuse him with a Godin or a Miranda or even like a Savage in terms of how in terms of the attitude or in terms of the positioning. Hermoso is really not a very good 1v1 defender, and if he's not contributing in build up with progressive passing with his dynamic passing range, what's he doing out there?
Yeah, and I think that comes back to the question about, or the chat about Jan Oblak, in that Simeone probably isn't the right player or right manager to get the best out of Mario Hermoso. Diego Simeone is an absolute perfect manager to get the best out of Diego Godin. Jose Jimenez, turn him into an elite defender. But he's probably not going to accentuate Hermoso's skills, and instead he actually accentuates probably Hermoso's worst trait, which is his aggressiveness and his kind of his physicality, when Hermoso would be far better off relaxing a little bit and actually being more involved and not being asked to go one-on-one as often as he is in better protection. But and that's the same with Jan Oblak, in that, can you imagine a goalkeeper like Manuel Neuer playing under Diego Simeone? I mean, I just can't see that happening, and I don't think that. And I think that's probably why Jan Oblak has been so good and effective for Atletico, and that he's being asked to do everything that he's good at, which is just stop shots from players under pressure, and he's not being asked to pass the ball, and he's not being asked to come off his line and sweep and be involved in the build up. So. Again, if they were to replace Oblak, it would have to be with a player like Oblak. So it's not going, unless, of course, they do completely try to evolve. But I don't think that Simeone is going to. I just don't think he's able to turn into a more aggressive possession-based defender, or sorry, manager, with the kind of traits we associate with that high risk taking. So I just, because I think Simeone kind of knows himself at the heart of all this, it's not who he is. And I think we spoke about this before on the pod at depth, and about being inauthentic. And I think that Simeone kind of, there's part of him sitting here during this poor spell saying, this isn't who I am, and I wish I could just go back to 2013, where 4-4-2 low block was all that was being asked of us, whereas now we have to do so much more. We have to be the one taking the risk, and Simeone just isn't comfortable with that. So
taking a bunch of risks and pressing high and counter pressing and playing multitude of attacking players and demanding they defend with possession, that goes against the nature of a pragmatist. And Diego Simeone, if nothing else, is a pragmatist. So it doesn't seem like a natural fit at the moment. Not anymore.
And the other thing is that for a manager who's not inclined to do that, like, I mean, you know yourself, Jeremy, and anyone listening to this knows and says, you tend to kind of focus on and think deeply about the things that you're good at and the things that you like to do and the way that you see the world. The likes of Pep Guardiola, who is steeped in a certain tradition, for example, he thinks deeply about how to press, how to win the ball back as quickly as possible. He knows instinctually, he's thought about it so much that he's on another level, where Simeone hasn't. And you can see that in the way Atletico play. Their press is disjointed because it's coming from a manager who doesn't
press. They have no press.
No. Yeah, it's kind of Suarez kind of egging people on to maybe join him, but it's all completely individualistic. It's not a systematic approach. And what we're seeing is a mixed performances, because the message is mixed and they're not entirely sure what they're doing. And at this level, even just 1% of doubt and you're finished. Teams will absolutely, even the worst teams in the league will absolutely eat you alive.
Granada sitting 15th entering this game with just 4 wins from their first 17 games. They're now up to 12th unbeaten in their last 5 because they smell blood. And it's an attitude problem as well. In addition to the press or the lack thereof, or the form of certain players. Like, collectively, there is a lack of confidence, and collectively, we talked about this over the weekend with the Sevilla game. They're how on earth can Atletico get the first goal inside 2 minutes? It takes 90 seconds for Joao Felix to put Atletico ahead. How can you really rationalize then sitting back and letting Granada play through you when you know you are a weak defensive team? Why don't you go get the second goal or the third goal and put this game away before halftime? With the way Felix looked in that first half, he was sensational, I thought. Again, I thought his best game of the season. With the way he looked, and with Suarez needing to get a goal for his confidence, he hasn't scored a goal in 6 weeks. Like, I just cannot really rationalize or come up with a justification. Another thing that makes like teams like Man City so successful is the physical aspect. Atletico, in almost every game lately, looks second best physically. Like, the team's level in terms of like their fatigue and in terms of like their speed, in terms of how quickly they're playing and how they are stacking up in aerial duels, etc. Physicality has been a mess for them this season. Other than like the first few games, Atletico have been second best physically in most of the games they've played this season. And that, for a fitness guru like Profe Ortega, that is a pretty damning indictment on him and the physios.
But I also, that's because, again, coming back to Simeone, losing a certain amount of authority in the dressing room, because you're looking at players like Joao Felix, and I know that there hasn't been any outright dissent, there hasn't been any outright kind of fallings out, but at the same time, Atletico Madrid, when we say that they don't have the best squad in the league, they could have the best. What I'm talking about is, having a good squad is pointless if it's not built. Like look at PSG, the amount of talent they have, and yet it's disjointed. There's no clear plan. And so coming back from the start of the season and saying, oh, it's not, well, their squad isn't that good. No, it's still the same squad. On paper, this is still an excellent squad. The problem is they're not being fit into any kind of a tactical setup. So, Joao Felix is sitting there. Joao Felix, Luis Suarez, Rodrigo de Paul, all of them are sitting there, and they're talking, and they're sitting there going, "We're better than this. Why are we, the champions of Spain in the last 16 of the Champions League, sitting back against a Granada team that were relegated?" Now, I know they've gone on a bit of a winning streak, but a Granada side with maybe one star, two, and not stars within relatively speaking here, they've maybe two stars, and then a bunch of players who are obviously excellent in their own right, but no standout players. Joao Felix, Luis Suarez, all those players are sitting there are on the pitch, and they're in the dugout, they're in the dressing room after, saying, "Why are we sitting back against this team?" And that, you're looking at Simeone going, "I know he's a legend. I know he's won this and he's won that, and I know he's got the credentials, he's got the playing experience, he knows what he's talking about, but wonder does he actually know what he's kind of doing at the moment?" And I think that, and again, that comes out in the performance. We see it in the performance. I've said the same thing about 15 different ways about Germany. Am I getting my point across to you?
You're almost there. Maybe a couple more losses, we can really fine tune it. But you're right. It's leaking through the team's performances. It's leaking through in the team's lack of confidence and the attitude, and it's just a mess. It's been a horror show. Like, I didn't think we'd be having a Jan Oblak debate really at all, but you know, we have that earlier, and I have a couple more stats for you on Oblak. He has conceded 22 goals from 44 shots. That's a save percentage of 50%. That is the worst in La Liga, after he saved 80% of the shots he faced last year. He also, this was entering today's game, ranks fourth worst for post-shot expected goals in Europe's top five leagues. So that's goals actually conceded versus the shot quality of those shots. And Oblak entering today's game, I'm sure it's going to look worse after today's game, conceding six more goals than he otherwise would have been expected to concede. That's according to Football Reference. Oof. It's really quite the fall from grace in such a short period of time. 7 months ago, he was literally named La Liga's MVP, and now statistically, he is one of the worst goalkeepers in La Liga and in Europe. It's unfathomable, almost.
Yeah, it's kind of weird because I, and this is why I find the kind of intellectual challenge of stats and analyzing football so interesting, because you look at Jan Oblak, and it's really hard to measure a goalkeeper's worth, and because I remember years ago, and this was before like we really ever started talking about statistics. I remember my mind was completely blown because people were talking about Rio Ferdinand moving to Manchester United. I think it was, that's how long ago it was. It was years ago.
Oh yeah, wow.
And we were talking about how his tackling statistics. He doesn't tackle that often. And someone was like, no, but the reason why he doesn't tackle is because he's so good at avoiding getting put into the position where he even needs to tackle. Mm. And I was like, oh my god, this is, my mind was blown at the time. I was like, that's so interesting. But basically, that's what we're looking at here. Like, I mean, just because a guy doesn't have incredible numbers doesn't mean he's awful. But having said that, just because a guy has got amazing numbers doesn't mean that, like Jan Oblak, and I don't want to take away what Jan Oblak has done in the last number of years for Atletico. Some of the saves are outrageous. But maybe this kind of regression back to a kind of a normal, maybe this is who he is, because Atletico are slightly more open, and Jan Oblak is the same goalkeeper, and this is where, I mean, how much value do you put on a goalkeeper? Like if you leave a goalkeeper wide open, the very best goalkeepers in the world are going to look poor, and this comes back to the whole idea of this expected goals thing, where are Atletico just conceding really, really, really difficult chances to stop. And I don't know, man, I just think it's I think that the whole, like, right now we're seeing an Atletico Madrid that is, it's hard to kind of parse exactly what is form, what is, you know, what they're being asked to do, and what is just bad luck and concentration, mental issues, whatever it is. And we have to kind of figure out which one is, or we don't have to figure it out, and we probably never will figure it out, but that's the question we're asking. Is it because Jan Oblak is suddenly not very good? Is it a confidence issue? Is it being asked to do something that he hasn't been asked to do in a very, very, very long time, and he's feeling nervous? Is it the message from the coach? Is that making him nervous? I don't know. Like, is Luis Suarez finished, or is it because Atletico Madrid don't get the ball quick enough and they don't create enough chance? If Atletico Madrid were getting the ball into the box frequently enough, and I keep talking about Man City, like I'm just using them as an example. But if Luis Suarez is playing for Man City right now, in a semi-limited role, and they were just crossing the ball, those kind of cutbacks they do, would he still be at the level he was 2 years ago? And there would be no talk of this decline. And this is what makes football so fascinating, and this is what makes decision-making football fascinating. This is what makes football, for me, go around, because it's kind of trying to figure those things out. And for me right now, I think the start and end of everything is Atletico's lack of a plan, and I think we can't really judge players too harshly until Atletico figure out who they are, who they want to be, and then within that system we can judge them based on that. But right now you're judging Marcos Llorente as a right wing back and as a midfielder and as a an attacking wide player sometimes, and it's impossible, and I think it's impossible for them even to kind of know where they fit.
Well, in that vein, Robbie, let's try to name a couple New Year's resolutions for Atletico. What we'd like to see doesn't necessarily have to be 100% feasible, but it's somewhat realistic. What we would like to see the team do in 2022 to have any chance to make this a successful season. Right now, Atletico sit fifth in La Liga, still only 1 point off the Champions League places. They will play your beloved Rayo, and we will talk all about that in a few days' time. That's the first game after the break. Then a Copa del Rey game against Rayo Majadahonda that will also be at the Wanda Metropolitano. So what's one or two New Year's resolutions you have for Atletico?
Yeah, I think the first New Year's resolution is no yellow cards. Or no, not in the first half. No silly yellow cards. Because we saw today Rodrigo De Paul getting a yellow card. I know he plays right on the edge all the time, and it's kind of you're kind of playing with fire. But so many times this season, we've seen games conditioned by he got that early yellow card for a hand in the face of Darwin Machis, and then for the goal, he couldn't actually close him down properly because he was thinking, if I put my foot in here,
and he goes down, it's a second yellow.
A second yellow in the first half, and I'm athlete, and like, we've got no one really to replace me. Like, Marcos Llorente isn't there, so. And this is what I'm talking about. And this is just the same thing with, like, Hermoso getting. And again, I think this might be why. This comes back to my point again about the tactics, in that they're so nervous about being caught on the counter that. And they're getting put in situations where a foul means a card. And I think that try to avoid early yellow cards and try to avoid silly frees. But the big one is for Simeone to find a tactical system. Although I don't know if that's a resolution, more a kind of a goal or an objective.
My resolution is going to be to sign not one, not two, but three new defenders. Combined over the winter and the summer transfer windows. Atletico once again needed to place Jeffrey Condogbia in central defense in this game, and I thought Condogbia did fine. He played Jorge Molina onside for the game winner, but he's also a converted central midfielder. You can't expect him to go in and become like Beckenbauer, you know, all of a sudden. You can't expect him to just become an ace center back. Jose Jimenez and Stefan Savage have proven over the course of several years that they will not be available for every game, Jimenez especially. And even when they are, Atletico this season continue to leak goals whether they're there or not. So central defense competition is required, and I think the club needs to invest significantly in that area of the pitch. I think Andrea Berta, the sporting director, made a fundamental error in not addressing it over the summer, instead choosing to splurge on Cunha, Griezmann, DePaul. Simeone also shares some of the blame in this too, because he has a say in how the squad composition. But the resolution I'd like to see is they bring in three new defenders to compete there. Preferably one of them also has experience at fullback, because I think guys like Trippier and Lodi are not long for this team. Trippier is going to go either in the winter or the summer, and I don't think Renan Lodi is going to be too far behind him. I think he needs more playing time and experience than Simeone is currently offering him. So get in three new central defenders and really emphasize that area and turn it back into a strength. Because as we've discussed on this show and on others recently, part of what's been ailing Atletico is the bad luck. But the bad luck and that wild variance is coming because the system of play is not defined, and because there isn't enough competition in defense. There aren't enough really sturdy hands available in defense. So bring in multiple new central defenders. If you had to invest, make it happen. If you need to make a big sale, then make a big sale. I don't think it's really out of the question. I don't think Atletico should be banging down other teams' doors like, hey, can you take Jan Oblak from us? But I don't think it's out of the question that if renewal talks are difficult or they prove to be difficult, I don't think it's out of the question that he's put on the transfer list. Next season, if he doesn't, you don't want to let him go for free. That is one guy you don't want to let go for free. So I think we are looking at least one big sale, The Morata and Saul situations as well will need to be solved. My second resolution is to find a buyer for Alvaro Morata, because I think that could be a Culebron. That could be a soap opera next summer.
Yeah.
If they don't find
one, that's a good one. And you do have Saul. It looks like he's going to be coming back, and maybe he comes back and kind of fixes something. But again, it's not going to really matter, because they've already got three players who kind of do the same thing in Rodrigo De Paul, Saul, and Llorente. Although, having said that, imagine if you could like play a midfield three of Llorente, De Paul, and Saul. Oh man,
that'd be good.
You're looking at just complete and utter demolition of teams by pure running and energy. Like,
yeah, if I had faith that the Saul of 2016, 2017, 2018 is coming back, I'd be all over that. But I don't know if we're going to see that Saul again. I don't know.
Yeah.
Hasn't been a fun time for him at Chelsea. Has not been good.
Yeah. No, definitely. And it was always going to be difficult moving into Champions League winning side. And I thought he was going to be really good. And I guess I still hold some hope that he'd be back. But I don't know where that's going to be. And I don't know when it's going to be. But I really hope it is, man. Because him in his prime, back when he was kind of at his prime, he was just so much fun to watch. And
yeah,
he was brilliant.
Well, no shortage of storylines, no shortage of narratives as the first half of the season comes to a close. Atletico have 10 days off, perhaps mercifully. They will have a week and a half off before returning to play on the 2nd of January against a fourth place, I know you can't believe it either, Robbie, fourth place Rayo Vallecano at the Wanda Metropolitano for a mini derby. In the meantime, we are going to sign off. Thank you all for listening and your support over the course of this calendar year. Robbie Dunn, thank you so much for joining me.
Absolutely no problem, Jeremy. I'll chat to you in 2022.
Yeah, we will talk soon. Hope you have a wonderful Christmas and a Merry Christmas to our listeners for those of you who are celebrating. In the meantime, we will have content on IntoTheCalderon.com, on social media, and on our Patreon page at patreon.com/ColtGennaroChat. I will be doing a mailbag for $5 and $10 ColtGennaroChat amigos tomorrow. So be sure to look out for that. Thank you again for listening. Adios.